88, are you H?
Morning, W8FU.
Good morning, Sean. How are you doing this morning?
All right, on my way in. Just going over the Clinton River over here by Freedom Hill. Is that Red Run? This might actually be Red Run. Clinton River might be just a shade north of me here.
You are, seems like you're added a little bit earlier than normal.
Yeah, I was up early. Got up, got my morning routine done pretty early, and kind of hit the road ahead of schedule, so not terribly ahead, but a ways anyhow. Are you at work? I'm assuming on the app.
Yes, I am. I am on the app right now, sitting at my desk.
Okay, I might have been able to tell on that last one because it was in my mind, but I had no idea up till I was thinking, you must be at work. Sounds good.
Yep. Did you start, I think there was some chat going, you were going to start walking again in the morning or the afternoon. Did you start that yet?
No, I really didn't have any plans. I was just joking about how I'm going to get, somebody said, I think Dave said he lost like 40 pounds or something like that. And I said, that's it. I'm getting back on track. I'm getting back on my diet. And then I just heard a joke about tomorrow. It's always tomorrow.
It's always tomorrow. I understand that. Yeah, I've been running a little bit again, so that's good. I got to stick with it because I'm always happier when I am running, but it's a lot of work to stay on top of it, that's for sure. And I'm definitely slower than I've ever been, but I haven't really consistently ran in about a year. So, this is the build back phase if I decide to stick with it.
Yeah, I'm so out of shape right now. I don't know what it would take for me to get back into it. And I've been having a lot of feet pain in my feet. I think it's related to my diabetes and neuropathy, but I don't know for sure. But just annoying pain, and makes it. Yeah, it's like there's nothing I can do, but it makes it a little hard. That's probably, is that an excuse? I don't know. But I got to get back on track. It's a big catch-22. You run, you keep the sugar down, you don't have to worry about that stuff. You don't, it gets worse. And then you can't. So it's like, But no, I thought you looked like you had peeled a few off when I saw you. So if you're back on track, it's showing.
Yeah, it hasn't been long, but I just got to stay consistent. Like I said, I like doing it and have some friends that I run with, and it's fun to see them more often, so I just need to stick with it, and it'll all be good. But, life gets in the way, and I got all the excuses like everybody else does.
Well, I know my son-in-law runs, and he's been back on the bandwagon, but he's a little bit saltier there. He's down around Caju and Kirchival, so that's a little bit of a run either way.
Yeah, over in my area, there's no shortage of people to run with, that's for sure. Everybody's a runner, but it's just getting up early on Saturday and Sunday mornings and getting out there and doing it.
plus the band opening this morning, hearing something poking in here on the Mount Clemens repeater. So, must have a little enhancement going.
Well, on my side, going through the internet, I didn't hear anything else, so must just be when you're actually using RF.
Yeah, it's actually on same frequency. So when the carrier drops here, I hear something poking through the noise. So I believe I heard an 8-lander call on it, so probably across the lake in Ohio.
Yeah, I think I remember when I monitored GMRS a lot, there was guys talking that it would open up and they'd get poked through from real far away.
Well, this is the time of year for it. It's warm during the day, cools off at night, sets up those tropo ducks, and bingo. Next thing you know, we got band enhancements. So I remember when all my work stuff was on UHF, you know, the guys would come rolling in on mornings like this, and, you know, I'm hearing all this, I'm hearing all that, and Motorola mics, when you hang them up, mute, you know, because of the PL. And, but, you know, sometimes the mic clip didn't get grounded or this, that, or the other reason. So we would have to fix the mic grounding so they wouldn't have to hear these rogue signals coming in. the good old days. And I know you can duct on 800, but due to the nature of, you know, P25 systems, you don't hear it. You never hear it. Maybe you see something in the logbook showing, you know, some sort of on-frequency interference at one of your tower sites. That's about it.
Yeah, that stuff's pretty interesting, and I don't really know a whole lot about it, so it's pretty interesting when it happens and try to understand why people are talking about it.
A little room in there in case Dakota or any of the regulars are out here. Drake. Cooking this morning, but yeah, you know, it's usually out over the lake, right? You know, it's so I've worked down in Ohio quite a bit with ducting, but I've worked in New York and Pennsylvania and you know, on occasion. But the weirdest one ever for me was there was some sort of weird ducting going on, talked all the way into Wisconsin, which that's pretty crazy. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of ducting sets up over Lake Michigan, but to get in this far from, you know, from there, still have a duck cooking, that's really something.
WD8PIC near Toledo, Ohio. Worked Niagara Falls this morning.
Well, there we go. He got in strong there.
Yeah, good morning. Was it W8PIC? Anyhow, which of the repeaters are you on? This is a link system. There's a few of them. Just wondering which one you're making from Toledo.
.443.175 with 123.
Ah, that's almost cheating. That's a big boy in downtown Detroit. So there you go. No, you sounded really good into it. Name here is Sean, by the way. The call is W8FU. Anthony?
Well, it's cool that you're getting into that. This is KE8RUH.
I have worked it before, so I'm familiar with it. I was listening. I should see if I can hear some of the other links this morning. Because like I said, Niagara Falls, I got into Niagara Falls on 444.925 very easily.
Gentlemen, give me a couple of minutes here. I'm at the Starbucks. Got to get my coffee. I'll be back. WAFU.
How long of a shot is, you're in Toledo to Niagara Falls. That's a pretty long shot. That's definitely longer than Toledo to Detroit. Have you gotten anywhere else?
Well, yeah, Cleveland, but that's normal. I mean, that happens a lot. I've been up since about 6, and I've been having fun. Now I'm on a two-section diamond. I have a condo that, you know, the association allowed me to have antennas, but I couldn't have any towers, but I could use the two-story building. So my dad had this place built in 02. They both now passed away, but they had the braces put into the walls of the condo. I have the equivalent of the inside to the outside of the wall, the thickness of a stud, and it's one big piece, and there's an upper and a lower, two separate mounts, and each mount has an upper and a lower, and the two mounts are 9 feet apart on either side of the peak, on the second story part of the building, and then I have very good Roan house brackets with large lag bolts to go into that good wood. My dad was an engineer, and he talked to all the wood places and whatever and figured out the best wood for the job and had it all done. I know I was here and I felt it before they did the walls, and you can't even tell where the stud ends unless you go above or below each one of the braces. You can't tell on either side. You know, they so I have that good wood equivalent to put super long lag bolts into for each one of the... In the house brackets, I've got the braces are about 2 feet from top to bottom, so they actually... Each one of the brackets has an angled piece that comes down at an angle that also is bolted in. So the only way that my antennas will go anywhere is if the building does. Go ahead.
Well, that's pretty impressive. Yeah, I'm at my desk at work, so I'm just on a phone app that's using my All-Star node. So I am cheating essentially here, but typically just mobile talking. So you get quite the setup there.
Did you say an All-Star node?
Yeah, that's essentially what my understanding is how this phone app works is through the All-Star node system.
That is my favorite. That is my favorite digital mode. When I get a modem, I'm gonna do that. When I get not a modem, I can't think of the word for it. I know it, but I can't dig it out of the brain. I'm going to do that because I've heard or tried all the other digital modes, DMR, D-Star, Fusion, and they've all got artifacts, and I hate them.
Amen.
I'm totally blind, so my ears are more sensitive, and I hate them with a passion.
Anyhow, I'm back in here waiting for my coffee. But, a node. You're looking to build an all-star node. I don't know about for the blind community, but the clear node is a really nice one, and it's got a wonderful app. I think it would be easier than... For the blind, I think it would be easier than the regular nodes. But I really don't know how you could use it. But they've got a really nice app that helps you control their nodes. A little extra money for that node, but it well worth it. Anyhow, Anthony didn't mean to derail.
Oh, no, that's fine, John. Just we were just talking. He was telling me his setup, and I was telling him how I'm cheating and going through the phone app here because I'm sitting at my desk at work.
My friend said he could put the he could give my net information, which I have. I have 100 megs through fiber. I stream audio with some Alexa devices and some other things. But anyway, he could put that he could give that to the company as well as the frequency that I want, because I'm going to go in analog. I don't want any kind of artifacts in my audio. I can even tell when people are, we got some people down here that have radios where they have a Bluetooth mic, and I can even tell that, and I hate it. Go ahead.
You know, that's not real surprising. I believe that you'd be able to hear that.
So do you find, have you always been blind, or is that something, if always, you probably don't know if it's enhanced your hearing, but I imagine it would have to, right? Hearing has to be more acute, much more acute when you're blind, right?
Yes, and yeah, I was 5 months, I'll be 64 in October, I was 5 months premature in one town in 1961 in Vineland, New Jersey. We didn't stay there very long. I'd been in Ohio most of my life, but we had to stay there for probably at least a year and a half because of incubation and other things. I was a twin. The other guy either was alive on the cord blood or was dead at birth. I'm not sure which, but he was less developed than I was. And I got some other health issues, too. Asthma, epilepsy, fluid in the legs, and a diaper. But life is great, and you'll never hear me complain, except to tell people about it, but, as a fact, but that's it. So I've been in the dark. I had a little bit of light for about 3 years. No color, just skylight, sunlight, and the light reflected off of the snow, and that went away over about 4 years. So I don't know what anything looks like, and that's the way it is, Been in ham radio since 78, have my general class, and love it.
Well, far be it from me to know the piccadillies of all that, but I would think that, if you've always been blind, it seemed to me it'd be a little bit easier. I know if I lost my sight, I'd be devastated. I wouldn't, my whole world is revolved around, vision, and it would be very, very difficult to become blind, I think. So I guess I have breakfast with a gentleman who's blind, and he seems to get around really good. He's been blind his whole life, so, and he gets around amazingly well. So there's got to be something in that. But yeah, the other senses got a peak. So, well, very cool. Good hobby to be in. It's been better, I think, over the years. If you got in 78, we're the same age. I'll be 64 in September 15th. So I'm just a little bit ahead of you there. I was born with some complications too, but I'm lucky that the Kennedy baby had it. Same thing I had, and so it was all the buzz, and I probably died, but because a famous person had a child with the same thing, I was quite lucky. Anthony?
Gentlemen, I was waiting for my turn to come around. I need to get to it, so I'm going to cut out here. It was good talking to you today, and Sean, I'll probably catch up with you tomorrow. This is KE8RUH, and I will be clear on your finals. Have a great day, gentlemen.
7-3, Anthony, and have a great day.
Take care, Anthony. By the way, I'm ecstatic with that new computer. So, yippee! All right, catch you later.
And I'm glad I finally found somebody else besides another blind friend that agrees with the with my stand on digital. Because this sounds so great. And I'm like, can't you hear how crappy it is?
Well, this group here, we're pretty much all-star fanatics as far as connectivity. It's not really a digital mode. You know, it's more like a voice over IP, which turns digital, so, you know, but you're not going over the air digital, so I wouldn't call it a digital mode. But I get what you're saying, and we're big fans of it. You know, we will use the others, and I don't know if you've tried P25. You know, it's a matter of being available in your area. The same person that owns this repeater has a big P25 repeater in Detroit, and it's got receivers downriver. So if you ever lucked into a P25 radio, they're not easy to get or necessarily cheap. But if you ever got your hands on one, you might find that digital mode will change your mind a little bit. Same thing that the local law enforcement uses. So anyhow, you give me the name once again. If you gave it, I might have been getting my coffee or something like that, but I want to make sure I jot it down. But I just pulled up here at work, so I got to get inside. It was a pleasure. Stop in another time. You should be able to make this machine. And we're usually here listening. Again, name is Sean, and the call is W8FU. And give me your vitals, and we'll say 73 for now.
And I'm teasing, but I hope you don't obey your call sign. I had to say that. I'm sure you've had that said before. I like having fun. Or you could be the friendly undertaker. Anyway, I'm just teasing you, of course. That's another way I deal with it, is good, clean humor, you know. Okay, name is Bob. Bravo, Oscar, bravo. Yeah, I can hit this repeater even without a band opening, but I'm extremely noisy, so. You know, with a little tiny enhancement, I get into it just fine. I should have scanned around while we were talking and see if I could hear any of the other links, but I didn't. This is an older Kenwood from the 90s, and it's super easy for a blind person to use. And I use a Kenwood TS-590 SG, which talks and tells you everything. So I'm very happy. And yes, I've tried P25, and it still has artifacts. I'm sorry, but it does. It's one of the better ones, but it still has artifacts. So. But that's what I like about the All-Star, is that other than going over the net, but it does it in the correct way, so it doesn't introduce the artifacts. You can even hear the PL tones with the All-Star. Take care, WDA-PIC.
All right, Bob. Yeah, thanks for that clarification. You're right. It's there. It's the best of the bunch, but it's still there a little bit. But that's the one that we tend to gravitate toward. All right, you take care. Good talking to you. W8FU.
And I'm on a limited income, so I got to watch my spending, which is hard to do when you're blind. Take care. Hear you later. I would say that if we were in person. WDA-PIC. And WDA-PIC on frequency. And actually, that's not an accurate statement. I don't have a frequency counter in front of me. Anyway, WDA-PIC.
Say hi, and then I'm going to lose my radio because I got to go take another work car. So, good morning. and goodbye.
Okay, he answered on the wrong radio. AVAPR. Okay, see you later.
Yeah, I was scanned over there, and I got to stop it from doing that. That's me bad. All right, later. Have a great day, sir. I'll be back probably. All I'll have with me is a DMR. Later.
Okay, I'm going to be in your neck of town later today, way over on the east side on up in 59. So, catch you later, ABAP.
Okay, later,
WB.
KCAKJO.
Good morning to you, KCKJO.
Good morning. Are you en route to a job?
Yeah, 9 mile in Mount.
Well, at least it's not too far.
Yeah, from here, then I'm going to go to Ypsilanti.
Well, that's not close.
No, I tried picking up yesterday after I was done in Ann Arbor. But they're like, no, I'll come tomorrow. It's like, but you're 24-7. You know, so there's a guard there all the time, but they didn't want me there. So, like, oh, well, whatever.
Yeah, that sucks. That's a 15-minute drive versus an hour and 15.
Exactly. Well, I was in, I had to go to Grand Rapids yesterday. I had to be there by 9. I didn't get there until 10:30. And when I was done there, then I shot all the way down to Ann Arbor, took care of that. And I'm like, okay, I can hit Ypsilanti on the way home. It's no big deal. And the POC said, nah, we'll wait till tomorrow. I'm like, okay.
They just didn't want to deal with you.
That's because every time I go there, it's always a problem that's being created, or they don't want to upgrade the system, and they keep adding on to it, and it gets slower and slower, and there's induction, you know, along the data lines and everything, because of the way that they built their machinery, and our cables go right along with it, and it's a big mishmash mess kind of thing. We're like, if something breaks, we don't have anything new. And the new stuff isn't compatible with this stuff, so you guys got to make a decision.
This sounds oddly familiar.
Doesn't it?
Well, push comes to shove sooner or later, so it'll happen. I just don't know when.
Yeah, when things start falling apart, then they'll understand why you said what you said and showed them what they needed to do.
That is the majority of the reason why I'm employed.
Same here. Like I said, this one in Ypsilanti gave me the equipment. I was one of the original installers back then. And I'm like, this, now it's 25 years later, I'm like, this stuff is going to start crashing on you. And they're like, well, it's still working, blah, 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 but now they can't use the keypad codes, you know, code and pin, or card and pin, because it takes like 30 seconds to unlock the door when they do it that way, and they get all frustrated.
We have an egress sensor that, for some reason, just keeps tripping out, and it'll just disengage, engage, disengage, engage, disengage, engage, and it'll do it. It'll start beeping. I don't know what's wrong with it, but then I just clear the alarm and it stops. So we've been getting by with that.
Take a picture of it and I'll tell you what to do with it.
buy a new one?
It all depends on what type of egress motion that it is. If it's a square box and it says T-Rex on it, that one's easy. There's blinders that you can twist. If it's like a cylindrical one with a green light that's got a real loud relay on it, click, 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 then put a piece of tape on each edge of it, and that'll cut it down. Make sure that it's face down also towards the door and not halfway across the room.
It's that one, the cylindrical one, and now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure that thing is pointing at, like, the wall across the room, so probably could just adjust it.
100%. Take the cover, pop the cover off. They're a bear, but they pop off. Loosen the mounting screw a little bit, and then angle it down towards the door. It should be no more than 3 feet away from the door.
I will try to check that today. I don't know why I didn't think of that, because I can see the green light when I'm walking towards the door about 20 feet away.
Yeah, it's angled too high. It should be no more than 3 feet. It should be looking down towards the floor, and no more than 3 feet.
This is a whole mess I didn't want to inherit, but here we are. Okay.
Welcome to my world.
I just remembered that this weekend I was cleaning my truck and I was wiping down my antenna and I pulled half the antenna out because the set screws were loose and I never tightened them, so I'm hoping I make it to work.
And yeah, just be cautious, you don't need it to fall out like Dave did and end up having to buy a new mast.
This is my OG Comet 2x4 that I bought, oh, I wasn't even a general yet, so this was 2022.
Well, at least it lasted this long. Just don't go passing by anybody at, you know, high rate of speed, and I think it'll be okay.
It should be. It's not like it's, ooh, big ditch witch, I need one of those. It's not like it's bouncing up and down, so. Should be good. I'll tighten it when I get there. But, yeah. Did you ever upgrade from your Diamond, or are you still rocking that thing? You sound good. You're probably going into Warren.
Yeah, I'm in Warren. I still got my MR-77. It does good, and the SWR was like 1.5. Hold on a second. I got to check in here. Be right back. KKKKO.
There's strange voices on the repeater. TFAS.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. I've been sleeping. I slept in. So now I'm doing the morning stuff. You're on the road late.
At 8 BBM. I had to meet with the township and my neighbor. We've had a, you know the deal. So I had to meet with them to do a walkthrough. And I think we got closure. I think we're in a better spot than where we were. They wanted me to put a $20,000 bill to work on their property, and I was like, hold on, no. So we're in better shape now. So that's why I'm on my way in. This is the third time I've had to meet, and I've got about, I don't know, 6 to 7 hours of missed work accumulated because of this shenanigans, so I'm done with it.
Yeah, here's my, he did what he could. Be annoying.
On their property.
And he gets his joy. You know, there's some people that they get, but he gets joy in being annoying.
Can you see a kid, Joe?
Well, I know Dave's coming in on a node, and I know Tom is on Warren, and I could hear both of you, but couldn't understand either. So, yeah, I don't know. Dave, go ahead, pick it up, and then hand it to Tom.
Yeah, I was just making a comment. There's some people, you know, like, and especially like neighbors or whatever, that they feel like they get satisfaction about being annoying. So there you go. Go ahead, Tom.
Morning, Dave. No, my question was, is so they want you to pay them for money to go on their property? Is that the weird thing? That seems kind of odd.
They're being annoying because they can't boss me around, and they don't like that. It used to be their farmland, and it's not anymore. Obviously because there's a house there that they sold a lot, who was sold to a developer who built a house who I bought. So there's that. Because they've asked me on several occasions, are you staying there forever? How long do you plan on being here? Like, well, you think the next guy that moves in here is going to just do whatever you tell him to do? And the monetary amount is to dig out one of their ditches between us because they're blaming my house for one of their fields flooding, which... not my problem. I bought the house as is. So, your field was flooding. I pulled up satellite images, and I proved plenty of stuff where, you know, back to 2015, before any houses were out there, their field was flooding. So, they don't really have anything to argue.
Yeah, and he's probably not farming anyways, right?
Yeah, correct. So, just all unnecessary, and I basically laid it down today. It's like, I'm not paying for any of this, so there's that.
And the thing is that the property, they don't own the property. They sold it to a developer. The developer developed the land and put your house on it. So it wouldn't be your responsibility in the first place. It would be the responsibility of the developer that developed the land. I'm going through the same thing in my town.
Yeah, now that I think about it, Tom, I should have you over one day to give me your assessment because it's just so stupid that this is even a conversation. I got them coming around. They're finally starting to, I don't dare I say, we're building a relationship. But we're finally seeing eye to eye on this of like, look, like this is no fault of mine, no fault of yours. This is the reality. So we're working towards a solution. But yeah, of course the township's got their hand in it. They're pissed off. I'm just like, I'm not dealing with either of you. So coming to an end here.
So what does the township want you to do? What is their third party view?
My honest theory is the township's at fault for some of this, and they're trying to cover their own you-know-what by mediating it so it's all documented that the township facilitated the solution to make them look like the good guys. That's my theory. I have no proof or supporting evidence of that, but that's just kind of what it seems like.
Oh, that definitely sounds like the development in my town. The residents don't want this complex being built, this condo complex, and got a farmer saying that ever since they dug there, my yard, you know, my barn's been flooding on the heavy rains, blah, 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 but it's not even developed yet, but where the new houses are, there's an easement, and it's a big mishmash mess right now. There's lawyers involved, the city, you know, I'm involved in a way, the ZBA is involved, and it's a big, go to YouTube and, I forgot what the name of the, I think it's like SCTV or something like that. You can see all the Planning Commission and ZBA stuff on YouTube. It's ridiculous the way some of these residents act. But alas, I have arrived at my destination, so I will say 73 to both of you on your finals. KKO.
73 there, Tom.
See you later, Tom. We got to keep in touch. I don't know if you still want that RG3, but I found that this morning in my closet. Oh, yeah. Forgot to bring that up to Tom. So let me know. And what do we got today? We working?
Yeah, I took the week off, so I'm kind of just winging it. A puppy dictates my schedule. she's graduating. Graduated to eating wood and trying to eat drywall.
Oh boy, she's gonna keep you busy. Yeah, mine, I don't know if he's got an infection or what, or if he's just getting old and doesn't care, but he peed in the house about 4 times last week, which is completely not like him at all. I mean, he'll hold it for 24 hours. So, he hasn't this week, but last week he had a couple accidents at like 1 in the morning. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? So, quickly reminded me of the puppy life of, oh my God, I got to deal with that if I get another one. Well, that's good. At least you got a week off. I took yesterday off and then rolling in late this morning, so I had a nice little 4.5-day vacation that I think I very much needed. Unfortunately, did not play any radio, though.
Yeah, I haven't been doing much with the radio stuff. I mean, you see me tinker. I show you YouTube stuff, but, or not YouTube, but, you know, I make videos and stuff and send them to you, but not really doing anything serious. I've been playing more with, trying to learn the AI stuff. I've been playing with that Claude code and GitHub Copilot and all that stuff, so that's like, you know how you get into a... You find something that just keeps your interest, and you just keep on going with it. So that's kind of my where I'm playing with right now.
Yep, I know how that goes. It's like a rabbit hole that never ends. It's a black hole. I haven't messed with Claude yet, but I was watching YouTube yesterday, and someone made a retro game emulator out of a Raspberry Pi 5, and then they 3D printed like a Sega Genesis housing for it. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a sweet project that I would like to do. And then I started pricing it out. I'm like, what a waste of money. I could emulate all this on my computer for free. It's usually how I get ideas to do things. But I'm trying to not waste money on projects right now because ICOM released that 5200, which I don't think is coming out for a year. And then I'm still optimistic, but losing optimism that the Kenwood's going to come out this year, so just patiently waiting for those, or that, or this, depending on what comes first. That'll be my next radio endeavor, since I pretty much only use a mobile now.
Yeah, I'm pretty much, you know, I saw it, and I'm doing HT collecting, but, you know, a lot of these HTs are like $30 or $20. It's like a meal. Or, you know, it's cheaper than taking your family out to dinner. Some of these radios is crazy, but you know, the latest acquisition I got was a Bofang 1701. It's a DMR radio, and it's kind of old, but it was like $35. You can put Open GD77 on it, and it came up with a ton of accessories. So it's like that's what I'm talking on right now. I might have to tweak the gain levels if the audio is not great.
I have not bought, oh, I lied. I bought, my last Chinese radio is that Quanzhang, which I'm not going to lie, I really like that radio. That's when I took to Vegas, and then I took it up north with me. But I went through that phase, too, where I was collecting every $20 to $30 radio I could find.
Yeah, you know how we like the rubberized buttons, or the buttons that have that texture to it? That's what they have on this 1701, so that's kind of why I'm kind of gravitating towards it. It's like it's got a good feel to it when you push the not the hard plastic buttons, right? but yeah, just dabbling in that. I see that DMR is having a little bit of a resurgence. Folks are using the MI5 DMR, so I've been hearing a lot of chatter over there. So that's cool.
Okay, that piques my interest a bit, because I've had an Anytone 878 in my cart like 10 times this last week. I don't need it, but for some reason, I really like that radio, and wouldn't mind getting another one. Just, like, who was I talking to the other day? DMR is like the one UHF-VHF side that I just have next to no experience in. I suck at it. I don't understand it. I want to learn that, and then I can justify my Open Spot Pro that sits in a drawer.
Yeah, it's not too difficult for MI, you know, if you're using the MI5 repeaters, it's not so difficult because there's only really realistically one talk group. There are more, you know, there's a statewide one and statewide two, but most people program in statewide one, and then statewide two is usually used internally. So you really only have one talk group, one color code, one frequency that you would have to program in there unless you want to have put multiple repeaters. But I'm sure there's a repeater by you that you can get into. And if you don't want to go, if you don't care about GPS or Bluetooth or push-to-talk buttons that you put on the steering wheel, there's a they're 168 model. So there's this, there's a knockoff. It's not really a knockoff. It's the same Anytone, but they're selling it under a different brand called Aerotron or something like that. And it's like, it's like 70 or 80 bucks for that radio. I think it's closer to 80. And I'm not sure how that, how they how they're selling it for that when Bridgecom is selling it for 200 still. But you might want to look into that because that's not as much of an investment.
I will look into that. The reason, the other reason I want an 878 is I still get random people messaging me on Facebook wanting 3D printed knobs and random crap for them, and I'm like, I don't have a model anymore to test fit this stuff, which I know the other thing too is like the parts change over generations, models and all that, so they're not always the same, but if I can be like, look, it fits mine, you know, that's a start, but... That and those
USB-C batteries,
that's why I
want. Yeah, 878's still a good radio. But if you really like that noise canceling feature that you've gotten accustomed to on your Yaesu radio there, the 168's got like a noise canceling, you can turn it on and off, and it it kind of like gets rid of the it won't get rid of the static, but, like, in between people talking, you know, when the repeater just goes into that quiet mode, it'll eliminate that. So it almost sounds, I won't say it sounds digital, it just, it sounds like it's like a clean transition.
You know, honestly, I haven't used that in probably a few months. I'm always in the brain for a repeater. So the only time I ever used it was when I was north of town, like right by my house because there's some spots where it gets pretty scratchy. Other than that, I mean, my commute this morning, I messed with my antenna because I almost broke it, but it's almost like it wasn't seated all the way, so when I put it back together, it's like my it cleaned it up a ton. So I'm always almost full quieting anywhere I go, at least on the receive.
KF8S. Yeah, for some reason over here I've got like an interference on UHF where it makes things a little bit staticky. I thought maybe it was because my hotspots were desensing my radio, and that wasn't the case. So I don't know. Like the GM repeater, for example. You know, granted it's all the way downtown Detroit from my house, but it's got a big static on it. You know, snow on it. So having something like that cleans it up so I can at least listen to it where it doesn't bother me. But, yeah. I know there's been something, you know, with UHF lately, it's just been a lot of, like, snow. But I wonder if it's just because of all the leaves on the trees.
I've been making tons of mental notes when I'm driving around and how I'm hearing repeaters because I'm going to see what it's like when the leaves fall. I'm still convinced that that dead spot on 53 between 23 and 24, 25 is 100% due to the trees, but time will tell once these leaves fall. We'll see how it is. But on that note, I'm finally pulling into the office here. I'm going to clear out. I'm going to get inside and get caught up, but I'll be out here this afternoon if you are around. If not, I'm sure I'll text you. Be clear up yours, N8BDF.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I usually monitor more when I'm not working, so we'll chat with you later. KF8S.
W-D-8-K-L-O.
How are you doing today?
Oh, just doing my usual rounds in the Tri-County area.
You know, you're always somebody I can count on to come back to my call during the day. You're always on the road.
Yeah, I'm always out here somewhere. This is on Saturday and Sunday, and I'm usually hiding at home.
Yeah, it's good you can chit-chat while you're going from call to call there. Kind of neat. I wish I was had ham radio when I was making sales calls, but I got to be honest with you. I was so busy trying to take care of my customers, I don't know if I'd be on the radio much.
I got a radio in some way or another in my service van since I've been out in the field. That's what, since 99, I guess you can say, is when I got my first service van. And I had a little Kenwood HT that I had programmed for 2 meter 440 and a little W10 on top. And then it just progressed from there, I guess you can say.
So what are you running now in your van?
Well, my analog mobile is an Olenco DR735T. And then I have a Motorola XPR4550 UHF DMR. And I run that with GMRS on it when I'm with my coworker. And then right now I've got W880's UHF, VHF P25 that I'm playing around with right now. And, of course, then I got a P25 scanner sitting on top of my Olenco. I got 1, 2, 3, 4 antennas on the roof.
Oh, very cool. So I've never ventured off into the P25 side. Now, I've got a OpenSpot 4 Pro that I can cross-mode over, but I have no clue even what to punch in for P25 stuff.
I haven't really delved into the programming itself. You know, I'm just checking it out. And while he gave me a radio to play around with, see how I like it. Eventually, I'll order it, one like this, or have him order it, get it all the parts together and stuff for it, and then I'll buy it from him. But I plan on doing my own programming on that one. I'm learning. You know, that's what's making it so fun.
Well, I guess when you figure it out, let me know so I can punch in a code or whatever I need to do for to talk on that side. I'm not even sure what to put in there. I haven't really investigated it. I can figure it out, but just wondering if you had any talk groups or any numbers that I could try on P25.
Yeah, this one was pre-programmed. Like I said, there's no front panel programming. There's no, keypad on the mic or anything like that. So I'll probably sit down and see if I can find the software and check it all out. I know the P25 is on the WHSmith.net website. They got all the frequencies on there for DMR, VHF, UHF, MI1, MI2, MI5, and P25. It's all listed there for the interconnectivity.
Okay, is that the Central Michigan Emergency Network hub that you're talking about, or is that you're talking about it, the Flying Beers Network?
No, Central Michigan Emergency Network. I think it's WHCMN.net, Whiskey 8 Charlie Mary November.net.
Yep, okay, yep. I got to just peel through this dashboard here and figure out where P25 is and what the numbers are. I'd just give it a whirl. What, you don't know any of the talk groups or stations or anything, huh?
No, I haven't a clue, to be honest. I haven't even delved in that, that tab of the website yet.
Okay, well, I hear people talk about P25, but I haven't been over on that side yet. I guess I'll have to
check it out here sooner or later.
And it's just another realm of possibilities. I said it's, I'll get a little bit of training on it and then fly from there. You know, the whole purpose of me doing EM and stuff like that is allowing me to program my own radios and make changes to them. You know, get a little bit of training, you know, from an Elmer and then just flying from there. I learned DMR just last year, and I've had a DMR radio for about 3 years. And then when I was off on medical last year, I had Captain Don took my equipment and he programmed it. Sean set me up with the open spot, an older one that sits at home. And then Wally did the Motorola for me. But now that I got the software and the cable, I can do my own code plugs. So I'll sit down on a day and just mess around with my radios.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's all a learning curve for sure. I've been in a tailspin since March, since I got my license. I've been, I just put a wire up. I had an AM stick out for a little while on the HF side, and I decided that wasn't going to get it, so I ended up putting a half-wave end-fed wire up, and I've been having a ball on that thing, just 100 watts, and you know, on the HF side, but I think that's where I have the most fun. I did the digital stuff, but I guess I really enjoy the HF more.
Yeah, I don't have any HF stuff. I'm just a no-code tech, have been for years. You know, another adventure when it gets that far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as soon as you get up to the HF stuff, you're gonna have a ball for sure. I've got over, 400 contacts since March in 65 countries or something like that. On a job, so it's been fun.
Oh, I can imagine. I hear a lot about the contesting and stuff. Now, that I do on Talk Group 91 through DMR when I sit at home, you know, because I use my open spot there. Have a little bit of fun with it, and that's pretty cool, but it's so lamb-based with everybody on there, it's crazy. But when I get some spare time, I'll get back into it. And I am arriving at my location for my next call of the day. How's that sound? I'll say 73 on your final. CC8 KJO.
Okay, Tom. Have a good day. Fix them up good. WD8KLL, I'll be clear.
Here's the whole purpose of my job is taking care of the customers, making sure everything works before I leave.
78
to you, KAC,
KJL.
I'll be out in a bit.
288 Z Mobile. WD8KLO.
WD8KLO. Name here is Jerry.
Hey Jerry, name here is Greg. Golf Romeo Echo Golf.
Yeah, I just headed home. Went to the dentist and stopped at a couple stores and looks like it's going to be a nice day today.
Yeah, roger that. If you're not up north, anyways, they're going to get a little bit of rain up there, but looks good south. I'm off the Flint repeater here.
Oh, okay, very good. Yeah, I'm in Brownstown, and Yeah, it stopped in the Tractor Supply. That KJ6 ER. He's got this pulled up performer antenna, and I picked up a couple electric fence insulated poles to for the ground plane.
Oh yeah, yeah. I heard the that POTA performer or whatever is a good antenna. A friend of mine's been doing a lot of POTA, and he's had good success with the I think it was a Wolf River coil POTA type antenna.
Yeah, there's quite a few variations out there. I've been using Chameleon, and I've got a Bronco Sport with the luggage basket on top of it, and I use the Shark Whips on that. That's worked pretty well. Worked a bit of DX on 20 meters with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Roger, on the hamster, the shark hamstick, I think is what you're saying there. I that's where I started off before I got a wire up. But, yeah, you can make some contacts on the hamstick for sure.
So with the Chameleon, I've got the M-Pass vertical set up with the, let's see, anyway, I worked on the Gray Line. I worked Adelaide, Australia, at one time, or they worked me. And then, yeah, with the Shark Whip, the farthest I've worked was Dresden, Germany.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's doing pretty good on the old Shark Whip. My experience, usually when I had it up, it was mostly, you know, United States, mostly down south for whatever reason. It was pretty directional for whatever reason. I didn't get much DX on the European side, but once I went to the NFED half-wave wire, oh my gosh, opened up the whole world.
Yeah, I'll have to find a park where I can try that out. I'm waiting on a carbon fiber fishing pole I bought from China. I bought a couple before, and the top sections, it goes down to a millimeter, and they're kind of useless, but if you go down a little farther where the sections get a little bigger, you've got an anchor point there for NFETs and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, that's a great idea. I never thought about that. Yeah, the way we put mine up was I got 74 feet running from my house. It's about 35 feet up in the air, and it slopes down to about, 15, 20 feet maybe. But we've got an eye bolt that we screwed into a tree and then put a pulley on there and put a little weight, tied paracord to the end of the wire, which is literally outside of the tree area. And we ran the pulley down with a 1 gallon fuel bottle filled with sand. So it's enough weight to pull on that wire just to keep it taut.
Very good. Works pretty well for you.
Oh yeah, the communications have been unbelievable on that wire. Yeah, it's I highly recommend a half wave NFED wire. If you got the room, you know, in your yard, put one up. It's fairly inexpensive and gets you out.
That's for sure. Yeah, the carbon fiber fishing poles I bought at Valley Express. And it takes about a month to get one. But I think this one that I bought this time was a 13 meter, and it was around $70. So was going to use it for 40 meters, make it up a quarter way for that photo performer thing, and it should be long enough for to work on. I think the thicker is still like 37 feet. To where it's, I think it's just a little over 42 feet long.
Oh, that makes about sense, yeah, because I got a half wave and it's 74 feet, the wire total length. So, yeah, it's a good option for you for sure. All right, my friend, I'll cut you loose here. You were getting a little bit staticky on that last transmission, so we'll cut you loose here. Good talking with you. WD8KLL, be clear after yours.
All right, 7-3, have a good day, and talk to you later, KG8KSET.
N1KRD.
Good afternoon, this is Tim, ADHJL. Hope you're having a good day. I'll throw a call out there.
KE4ZYQ, monitor.
Hey Joe, this is Tim, ADHJL. How are you today?
Well, doing pretty good, thank you. I thought that was you I heard on the radio. I just turned it on a second ago and thought I heard the last part of your last transmission or previous transmission. So I'm doing pretty good. How are you? You sound like you're out and about.
Indeed. On my way to my next errand. I had the Tigers game on. Bases were loaded, Tigers on the mound, and guys finally hit into a double play to get out of it, so that was a big moment. Happy to see that. Tigers are up by one run. Beautiful day. Not much to complain about.
Well, very good. Yeah, I didn't know the Tigers were playing today. I'll have to look and see if it's on any of my free channels, because I don't pay extra for anything. But I have over-the-airwaves, and I have another service I pay that doesn't necessarily give me all the sports activities. But how's the family doing, and yourself included? Everyone doing okay, I hope?
Everybody in the family is doing well. Actually, I left my kids. They were doing yard work when I left, should be wrapped up by now, I hope. I didn't give them that much to do, so we'll see. But I know everybody's doing well, and had an opportunity to get outside and enjoy the weather, which is nice. But when the calendar changes to September, I just keep looking at the weather going, you got to enjoy these days so there won't be too many more of them.
Yep, KE4ZYQ, yeah, I hear you. Well, I think we're going to be reprieved to have a semi-mild fall, and then when winter comes, we'll start off slowly, but sometime during the winter months, we're going to get hit with something we haven't had in a while, one of those big snow and maybe ice storms or something. I hope not, but I got a weird feeling about it.
The last couple of years haven't been bad. I mean, I had literally, 2 years ago, I got my snow blower prepped and ready, and I didn't use it once. And then this past winter, we were still in an El Nino, and I'm like, I'm not even going to bother. And I didn't bother to get my snow blower ready. And I didn't use it. So, if we get dumped on, we're 2 years behind. So I'm not going to complain.
USL that. Well, I think if you're old enough to remember, there's years and years ago, we've had ice storms on top of the snow, but ice storms after we had snow that were just so bad that power lines were falling and tree limbs were all over the place, all different counties and portions of the state. And, you know, it's just amazing what ice and snow can do if given a good opportunity.
Back in 94, I was a teenager, but back in 94, we lost power for like 6 days, I think it was. It was just shy of a week from an ice storm. And then since I've lived in this house, so sometime in the last 10 years, we were without power for like 3 days. So, yeah, it does happen. Ice is pretty crazy what it can do.
Well, sir, anything new with you with any ham radio or equipment or any plans? Or do you guys take a mini excursion or vacation this time of year or whatever?
We haven't had much of an opportunity for a vacation. It's been a pretty busy summer, but we didn't go anywhere. We've done two POTAs so far, and I've got a POTA coming up at the end of the month. And so amateur radio, that's what that has been focused on. I replaced the antenna in my car, but I talked to you about that. That's about it. We got the Amateur Radio Club meeting tonight. The Lance Cruz meeting is tonight. That's what I'm running around getting my errands done so that I can be freed up for that. And so amateur radio-wise, that's about it. Like I said, I've actually been out on UHF VHF more now because I got my car antenna fixed. I'm able to use it now. So that's mainly where my focus has been. How about you?
KE4ZYQ. No, nothing majorly new. I hear there's a possible park POTA coming up this Saturday out at Metro, I think. Lance Cruz or somebody, I can't remember who, but I won't be able to make it. I got some things going on, and hopefully the weather's good for them that are going to try to do it. At least I think that's what they're doing this Saturday, the 6th, is it? Something like that. But anyhow, there's something else going on downtown. I don't know if you guys have ever looked at the Mount Clements. I think it's this Saturday, 7:30 in the morning. Mount Clements has a goal, what do you call it? I can't think of the name now. The go-karts, whatever you call them, the non-motorized carts, downhill cart things, down in downtown Mount Clements, and they have a breakfast at the fire station.
That sounds crazy. Like a boxcar thing. I want to say a Pinewood Derby, but that's for cars you don't ride. So, that sounds interesting. I don't know what we've got planned this weekend. I haven't looked that, honestly, I've not looked that far ahead. Well, I appreciate you coming back to my call sign. I'm at my destination, and I got to be in the building by 3, so I only got like 2 minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up here. Thanks for coming back. Good to talk to you, Joe. I'm sure we'll finish our conversation another time. Hope you have a good afternoon. I will be clear on your final. This is ADHJL.
Yeah, it was good talking to you. Thanks for coming back and talking a little bit. Have a ride along with you. Yeah, look up the Mount Clements downhill racers, whatever it is. They use gravity. There's no motor, just a go-karts or whatever they call them. Not go-karts, but I can't remember the name of it. But anyhow, they do that once a year, and this Saturday in the morning is that. Your kids would love it if they've never been to one of them, and then you can have breakfast afterwards for a nominal fee at the firehouse. KE4ZYQ, going to be clear. Thanks for coming back. I think you're thinking Soapbox, WYM. That is correct. Soapbox Derby Racing. It's done with gravity. They put them up on top, and they roll down, and whoever gets the best time or farthest distance or whatever. And it's pretty good. Soapbox Derby, there you go.
Yeah, hi, bye, Tim. I've actually been watching the Red Bull sponsors the Soapbox thing. They've been playing it on cable. It's an hour-long show. Plays a couple of times a week. I think I can't remember what channel, but I don't know what the rules are, but the soapboxes are big enough to hold two people, and they decorate them ridiculously fancy in a bunch of different ways and a bunch of different configurations, but they do have to maintain some minimum weight limit. But I think that's pretty much it. I think the weight limit is the only limiting factor, because I've seen anywhere from 3 to 8 wheels and all different sizes, shapes, heights, configurations, you name it. So scan around on your cable TV box or whatever, and they got it on Red Bull Soapboxers. I'm sure you can find it on Google. Anyway, I got to get back to what I was doing. WYM.
I appreciate it, KE4ZYQ. My uncle and my first cousins, they used to live in Mount Clements when we were all younger. They used to compete with the local Macomb County or something, you know, southeastern Michigan soapbox derby races. It was a big thing. There were several people. And they'd have to be, like you said, confined to certain measurements, weight limit, and design, and they could make it as good as they can, rolling real good, but you had to have certain requirements to meet the requirements or you were disqualified. And they used to get very heavy into that. I think they won a couple trophies, but soapbox derby, one person in the vehicle, that was pretty neat. But KE4ZYQ, clear for now.
W-A-R-I-T.
WSIU 709 for a radio check.
Ham radio, dude.
I apologize. Sorry about that.
You got an amateur call, or you just think it's okay to put this frequency in the radio?
KE8VSI mobile.
Hello, Captain Greggy. How are things?
Things are good. Just leaving Stony Creek. Had the lark in the park this afternoon. I did not operate, just came to visit. Now I'm heading home. Hopefully I have time to grill before rain comes.
There you go. My son came by yesterday and helped me with a project, and then he cut my grass for me and a bunch of other stuff, and he and I went out to eat at a cool little place by us after that, and I got my leftovers waiting for me, so I'll be doing that, and good food, a lot of it, so no barbecuing for me, but you'll get there. It doesn't look too bad. I don't see anything too threatening.
Well, that sounds like that all worked out for you yesterday and then into today for the meal. Very good. Yeah, there's a line of rain. It might scoot north of us. I'm not sure. It's a little ways out yet, but I think the wife had some chicken ready, so we're going to give it a whirl.
Yeah, I think I've got all sorts of stuff in the fridge. Leftovers, got half my burger from last night. These are incredible burgers. And I think I got steak left. Oh, phone's ringing. I'll be back. W8FU.
Roger. KKGSI.
Not the call I was waiting for. A BS call. They got me. Oh, man.
Yeah, I get a lot of those. I don't answer nothing that I don't know what it is. And if they need something, they'll leave me a voicemail, and then I decide from there.
Yeah, I know. I tend to answer. Then I make a mental note if it's BS or block them. Because I got one now that called me twice while I was in this meeting I just left. And I tried to call it back because it looks familiar, the number. And it just keeps saying, Verizon Wireless, the number you're calling cannot be, you cannot arrive at something. So I can't get through the, so I don't know who it is and it's bothering me. Probably nobody. And you know what, if they didn't leave a message, I guess you're right. But a lot of these kids, they just will have nothing to do with voicemail. You know, it's like, hell, they won't even call, so you know, I guess it doesn't really, it's probably not them anyhow.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They don't even know how to make telephone calls with their phones. And I kind of get that these days. I mean, I don't talk on the phone hardly ever, just doctor's appointments and things like that, not much else.
I think there's a happy medium. I think the kids today, they're too adverse to talking on the phone. They'll be sending me paragraph dissertations in text, you know, and it's like, we're going back and forth. My God, just call, you know. On the other hand, you know, if I just want to know, are you coming, or we still on for tonight, or hey, are you available for a call? That's a perfect place to use it. Or even short things like, hey, where's the, you know, where's the Lark? You say Sony, you know, or something like that. Okay, good, see you there. You know, like that. But these, you know, I'll get going back and forth with my kid. I'm like, finally, it's just like, for God's sake, call.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's definitely a line. If it's more than a little bit, it's worth the phone call.
So is 140 characters still a thing? That's definitely the limit.
I think that was a Twitter, which is now X. I don't know if it's still in effect. I've never had an account with either one, but I think that's where that came from.
I thought that was an old SMS thing, 140 characters. I don't know, but hey, whatever. But yeah, enjoying the heck out of the new MacBook. Thing's a beast. Man, I'm going to be golden for a while. The only thing that makes it not perfect is it's got a 512 SSD. Now, chances are that'll be enough, and since it's Thunderbolt 4, I could always get, you know, an outboard drive, I guess. But then, you know, it kind of defeats the purpose of the, you know, the laptop, right? I don't know if this is exactly what I built in a perfect world. Would I have gone 16-inch? Might have gone 14. But I don't know. I'm digging that 16. And, you know, the lightweight of the Air would have been cool, but I'm digging it, and I've been looking at external drives, Thunderbolt 4 drives, and man, it looks like they're fast enough for just about anything. You can even launch programs off of them. The biggest thing I did was virtual machines. They were gobbling up hard drive space on my other one.
K8, are you H?
I got you in there. Yeah, I think you were right on the 140 characters coming from SMS now that you said it. I remember back in my Motorola StarTAC days, it actually had like a counter in the lower right when you were typing a text message. So you could be right on that. And yeah, as far as the 512, I hope that's enough for you. And it's definitely enough machine for you. And I'm just glad you got it. The 16-inch, yeah, it's not as portable. You got to, you know, weigh that against portability versus size. But I always like big screens. So, and it's a little bit less portable, but what are you going to do? Hopefully the 512 will be enough for you, though. If not, you know, outboard is an option for the few things you might need to put on that. Anthony, go ahead. Hand it to Sean. This is KDA-PSI.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah, man, Motorola StarTech. What a great phone that was. Boy, what I'd do to have one of those again. But, Sean, you know, the 512, that's standard. I don't see, I probably see 98% of the machines that I see coming in are 512, and only very few are a terabyte, which is surprising, but I think with the work environment today, most people are storing their stuff in the cloud, so they don't keep much information on the device. So it's pretty interesting. Over to you, Sean. Yeah, so like I was saying, I don't even know if I'm going to need it. I had a 250. My last MacBook was 256. And that one got tight, you know, pretty quick. Because it was an Intel based, and I was running several virtual machines on it. I had an XP virtual machine, I had a Windows 10 virtual machine, I had a Linux virtual machine, and those all, you have to set aside a pretty good size chunk of, you know, a pretty good chunk of memory so that they can operate. And so, you know, I ran out quick doing that. I don't know that I'm going to be doing that now. In fact, what I might do is I might take that 2013, which is still a wonderful machine, and I upgraded that to a terabyte, and I might just turn that into my multi-boot. You know, that's where I'll run Linux and XP and Windows 10. And I'll just use that as my, you know, my work-like machine for programming and, you know, and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, if I do that, I can't imagine needing more than 512 for now. And then if I do, like Greg points out, with Thunderbolt 4, I can run a really good, you know, I can run a really fast, you know, external. And, you know, for, you know, what am I going to have, media? You know, that, you know, if I'm not doing those virtual machines, then it's just media, I guess. Unless I load it up with programs. But, man, it takes a lot of programs to fill up 512, wouldn't it?
Take my turn here, and that's it. Yeah, you're exactly right. I think you're going to be okay. Don't build the virtual machines until you actually need them, and then see how it goes. And like you said, 256 was less than enough, but you've got twice that now, so I think you're going to be okay. I think you're just getting spooked by it. So, but either way, you've got options. So. Anyway, Anthony, Sean, good talking with you. I'm blowing in my sub. Got to go negotiate the dinner plan, and maybe I'll be on a little later. KEA-PSI.
Good talking to you this afternoon. Hopefully you get something delicious for dinner. Yeah, you know, Sean, I don't know what all you're going to run on there, but 512 is a lot of space, and unless you're storing a ton of music or a lot of photos and video, I'm not sure how you would fill that up. So, I mean, I'm sure there's a way, don't get me wrong, but at least for most of my uses, the only time that I'm storing large quantities of data is photos and video.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, if I'm going to start doing video and music and all that stuff, I'm probably going to offboard it. I mean, I might start with it onboard, and then if I start to notice it taking its toll, you know, or something like that, then I'll offboard it. You know, then I'll invest in a drive. Yeah, because I think my experience was one 256 and two all of them virtual machines. They just gobble up space. Yeah, they have to, because they gotta have room to run, they gotta have their own space, you know, so it really just gobbled up that 256. So it's got me gun shy. I upgraded that machine to a terabyte, because, you know, it was easy. I just had to buy the DIM or SIM or whatever and pop it in there
and I got a terabyte out of it, and it was relatively affordable, so not so much with the new ones, but, man, I'm loving this thing. The thing is a beast. It's, you know, I wasn't sure, you know, 16, man, that's big. I love it, and it's gorgeous screen, 16 inches, nice. You know, it's a little heavier than an Air, but, you know, all good, but, it's a beast, probably a well-worn machine than I need, and I was thinking to go, could this be the last machine I ever buy? I don't know about that, but when I think about my last one, like 2013, it's still alive and well. Just now, you know, it's like, yeah, it's time to replace it. You know, just because of software, you know, but the machine itself is great. And I'm thinking, well, if I get that much time out of this one, good Lord, am I going to be buying a new? Am I going to be buying a new high performance Mac when I'm 77?
Hey, how much memory you get?
It's 36 and 512.
Yeah, unless they come out with some special AI chip that's going to make that thing weak, that'll probably be the last one you get.
Yeah, it's certainly a workhorse. You're gonna be happy you have it.
You know, it's the one thing I couldn't give up. You know, I went all in with the whole Mac ecosystem. I went iTunes, I went iPhone, I went MacBook, and I tired of iTunes very quickly, and tired of the iPhone not terribly long after that. I gave it a college try. I went several months, but I finally just said I'm done with this thing. But the MacBook, love it first keystroke, and I just never really looked back. I still run my Windows machine predominantly at home, but now I'm trying to figure out a way to run the MacBook predominantly. But I got my ham radio stuff over on the other one, so trying to figure out how that's all going to work. But yeah, cool stuff. What's up, Dave?
Oh, nothing exciting, and I might be in a dead spot here. Just going to the dentist. They rescheduled me to today. They couldn't take my appointment next week, so I go, all right, I guess. So that's what I'm doing. So I got to clear with you guys because I'm at the dentist. So I'll listen out. KFA does.
Well, have fun at the dentist, Dave. We'll talk to you soon. Hopefully you're just going for a cleaning. Nothing expensive.
Or nothing painful.
Yeah, just cleaning.
It's always painful. They put metal objects in your mouth. Whether they're drilling or not, it always sucks.
I'll tell you, last time I went in to get a cleaning, I got the plaque and everything and the coffee stains and all that, and they're always like, you know, really, really got to go nuts, and they have to do the scaling, you know, they got to go beyond just regular cleaning. I don't go enough, I'm sure. That's, you know, half the problem. But I was expecting the worst, and it was not bad. I would say I enjoyed it, but it was not bad at all. And, you know, I look forward to getting that done on a regular basis. And then I changed dental plans, and now I'm in limbo trying to find a, you know, it's weird. You know, the one dental plan I had, they didn't pay for as much, but I could go anywhere I wanted. And the one I got now, they pay a hell of a lot more. And, you know, I mean, almost unlimited. And but I got to go to very specific, you know, offices. So it may be worth it to go back to the other, I don't know, back and forth I go.
Yep, I try to make sure I go every 6 months. My insurance covers it, so I don't really have an excuse. But I just had to go get a crown, and this whole thing started, I don't know, in June. I got a crown put on. 5-6 days later, I was eating a tortilla chip, and the crown itself cracked. So then they had to reschedule me to bring me back in, cut it off, put a temporary on, redo it, and then put a new one in my mouth. And, man, it was just one thing after another, after another, after another. It was a lot of trauma in my mouth, and I was not thrilled. But the new one's in. It seems to be taking very well, and no problems. So hopefully that is a thing of the past for me.
Yeah, one of my coworkers had something like that happen. He just kept having this one tooth and giving him grief. I think he finally got it all worked out. But that's Bruce. I haven't heard him on the radio in a long time, WABES. But, yeah, he was having one tooth in particular he's having trouble with over and over. So, not good. I'm a sissy, man. I just can't handle those mouth pain, you know, when they're drilling or anything like that. It's just excruciating, and I just can't deal with it, no matter what they do. And the last time I went in to have a tooth extracted, you know, it's like they couldn't get it, and then they hit the right spot with the Novocaine or whatever the heck it is, and I could just tell, because when the needle hit, it hit the spot that hurt. And then he was mumbling around in my mouth, and I says, I think we're going to have to get a surgeon. And he says, no, it's done. I went, it's done? So they're just not hitting the nerve right or something with me, and it's just excruciating.
I've been there. Yeah, had a cavity filled one time, and They couldn't hit the right spot, and actually had to come back, and then a different doctor in the practice numbed me up, and it worked right away, and they finished the job. But man, I hear ya. And then it just leads to like an unnecessary amount of anxiety whenever you go there, and it's just terrible.
I wish it were that easy. I'll tell you what, man. It's so bad with me that I've had really good dental care for 35 years. I've had excellent dental care, and I hardly go nearly as much as I should, because I'm just so absolutely mortified. It's so excruciatingly painful. There's nothing they do works. Nothing, no matter what they do. And this last one I went to, and that one closed down, but the last one I went to, after trying to numb it up, you know, three times, he finally hit whatever the spot was. And I thought, holy shit, if that's what it's like when they hit the spot, I could get anything done. And so I finally realized that there is a way it can be done that isn't like I was experiencing. And I asked him what happened. He goes, I had to hit the tendon, is what he said. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what he said.
Yeah, you know, my dentist now, they take your blood pressure, and they always say, well, you know, your blood pressure's up. And I always say, yeah, you know, you're about to put a drill in my mouth. What do you think my blood pressure's going to do?
Oh, I feel you on both accounts on that. But my dentist, I mean, they put Novocaine on like a cotton ball and then numb my jaw. So I guess then they put the needle in there. And they usually use a line to numb me up, so I feel pretty pissed on. Hello, Anthony. KCKJ.
Well, apparently all the times before this most recent one I went, they're not numbing me up correctly or something. And now that I know it can happen, that's a world of difference. So I got to get in. I got to get serious cleaning. And I know I've got something going on a tooth in the upper rear that's got to get looked at. So not looking forward to it, but tis what it is. Where are you at when it comes back around, Tom? Kind of crackly, and yeah, I mean, you're fine, you're 100%, but you know, you sound like you're a little ways from whatever repeater you're on. Anthony?
I will throw it over to Tom, and we'll let's get a subject change and stop talking about the dentist. How terrible.
first off, I'm on 175 on LPS, and I'm on Michigan and 94 in Ypsilanti. Couple of them lines.
Well, that explains a lot. You're out there. All right, cool. Well, you're no problem. You're making it. So, I knew you were out there, wherever out there was. Very cool. Switching gears, speaking of switching topics, back to the MacBook stuff. I went and got one of those Magic Mice and paid the price and realized just how much Mac accessories are. Reacquainting myself with that. And I had to get a different backpack. I usually run a backpack, one that's got a specific computer screen. So, it looks like the charger, as long as you have ample power, all you need is that cable, right? You know, just the USB-C to USB-C. You know, it's not like, you know, my other one, I had to buy a MagSafe 2 or MagSafe 1 or whatever the hell it was. I had to buy that MagSafe charger, but now it looks like I just need USB-C and I could run any device that puts out enough USB-C power. Is that correct, Anthony?
Yep, that is my understanding. You probably need minimum 65 watts. You may want to check. You may need a 100-watt power block for that thing. I don't know. Those things are super efficient with their power. So you may need 100 to charge it. I don't know. You'll have to look it up. But minimum will be a 65.
The iPhone charger for it?
Yeah, no, the iPhone charger ain't gonna work. I'll have to check it out. I have a Anchor charging station. It's got USB-A, USB-C. It's got a few different things, and it's just to give you, it's like a little desktop charging port. And I think it's pretty beefy. I think it's 100 watt or so. Actually, more than ample. I've got a couple other ones, too. I don't know what those are capable of. I'll have to look and see. So I thought that was cool. I know you told me that, and I was kind of freaking out. Well, I got to have a charger. But, it's like, cool. They finally embraced USB-C. And then I'm trying to figure out, scratch my head a little bit about, so is it USB-C or Thunderbolt or both? They've managed to do both. So Thunderbolt 4 is incorporated into a USB-C jack. How does that all work?
Yeah, I don't know how that works, but I know I only charge mine off of USB-C. I don't even have one of the MagSafe, whatever they are, chargers at home or at the office. So mine always just gets charged off USB-C, which is great because more and more stuff is going USB-C, so I almost always have USB-C with me.
Yeah, what's nice too, Anthony, is my coworker's got a newer iPhone, what it's like when they changed over to USB-C, and he plugged into it. His phone was dying. We're at the office, and his Dell laptop has a USB-C charger on it, and the brick was at his desk. He plugged his phone into it to charge it, and boom, his phone popped up on the screen, so that was really cool. I said, look, you can even use your mouse and your keypad with the two. That's totally awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be, I think, beneficial over the long haul, so pretty cool. All right, I'm just pulling up at home here. I'm going to get inside, get into my comfy clothes, and figure out what the evening brings. Catch everybody in a bit. W8FU.
Have a good one, Sean. I am about to pull in the driveway also, and I do not get to put my comfy clothes on because I have to go to back to school night and meet the teachers. So much fun. I will catch up with you guys later also. Tom, safe travel the rest of the evening, and hopefully you get home soon. This is KE8RUH. I will listen out.
73, John. WJES, and I do not think it's on my comfy clothes. When I get home, I figured out the weed whacker before it rained and mowed down all the trimmings around the trees and the fences and the pumpkin patch. WRIT. You sound kind of clean, Dave. I don't know if it's your mic or your gain's down a little bit. You sound like you're kind of out there. Yeah, hi, Tom. I think that might be the radio itself. On this repeater, Tom, I'm currently sitting under a gas station overhang. But last week I was talking to some people and they told me I had very, very low modulation. Can you comment on my audio signal quality, please? WRIT.
Yeah, your modulation is low. Like I said, it sounds like you're talking into a tin can, I guess. I know I had to open up the mic on my Alinco, and I got better audio on it. But, you almost sound like compressed, I guess, the word that I can think of. You know, that's about all I can think of. I mean, you're equal, you know, you're a 9, but you're like a 3-9, I guess I can say, in regards to your audio. You're taking it in, but you're, like, tested, like you have the mic sitting on the floor.
Yeah, I'll just take a look, because I think I had the same problem with another ICOM 2100 I had a while back. It's something to do with, yeah, like the small pinholes or the microphone elements on the display itself. Tom, can you tell me,
yeah, they said it sounded the same way, so what I did is I went into the office, took the mic in, took it all apart, and then I made the hole bigger to get more audio, to get more, you know, voice into that condenser mic in there. Once I did that, my audio came up. But I guess you can say that you're undermodulating. You're like really, really tinny, you know, and it sounds like you're talking into a funnel.
At least I'll see about messing around a little bit with the holes for the microphone on the microphone on the handset itself here. We can open it up a little bit here. Tom, let me catch you in a few moments. I'm in the gas station. I'm going to run in and pay. There was a problem at the pump, so I'll catch you in a few moments if I can. WRIT.
Copy that, KCKTO.
Returning.
And where are you at right now?
Well, I am very nearby the homestead. Basically 9 miles in greater path. And yeah, I'm going to do the same thing that you guys do here. Put the other boots on here to get out and cut the grass here.
Yeah, when you get a chance, take that mic in and tear it apart and open up that mic hole a little bit. If it's a pinhole size, definitely make it a little bit bigger, and then I think your audio will come up tremendously.
Yeah, that's what I had to do with my 2100. I guess like the pinholes are offset and don't really prevent the audio to penetrate the element so well, I guess. And the other thing I've got to double check here, speaking of which, I'm going to check my settings. I did check there's an initial set with two different menu settings. So they have a set and then there's a setting. One, I guess, is more narrow, and I'm going to double check that. And the other one, I think, only affects the main band. So I was just kind of curious. It doesn't sound like it, but I was just kind of curious. But it's something to do with
yeah, make sure that your FM is set up for wideband and not narrowband. It'll get a little bit more better audio quality that way, too.
Yeah,
back, so I'll meet you there.
Like, you guys gonna be out here fixing? Is it work finally? like, no wonder we've had so many stories of gas explosions.
Oh, yeah, I get it. If you tell them to smell gas, they usually welt there pretty quick. Just checking the cat connection, too, because you're kind of staticky here and there also. Unless you bring your power up, but you're right there at St. Clair Source. You can really hit that tower just fine, because Anthony lives just south of you, and he can hit it with his AC without an issue.
Okay, I'll check that. I got another
go ahead. Hey, Jack, how you doing? This is Shane. Up in Holly, just heading south to Waterford here.
You're sounding good. And I'm over here. I'm John R. and Auburn.
Yeah, you sound good too. Just a little bit of bacon, and my antenna is in the back seat at the moment, so good to know I'm still coming through okay.
Oh, see, I'm driving about maybe 45 miles an hour, and I got that 2x4.
Yeah, much clearer on that transmission. That was fine. Also on a 2x4 here in a Yaesu 150.
You know, I'm on DB20.
Yeah, I mostly just sit out here and listen. I figure they give me ears and one mouth for a reason, and I'm just kind of learning more about this. Just getting to end up the summer here with all the busy activities and studying to be gentle.
Yeah, no problem, anytime. Yeah. Well, good talking to you. You take care. KF8DRC.
Jack, KF8DFV, and I'll be clear as well.
KF8S, mobile.
W880. What's up, Dave?
I heard you in the background while KJO was talking. I was listening to him on DMR. So I thought I'd come back to you over here.
Yeah, he's got a newfound love for DMR. I set a radio up for him with IP Connect, and he is, like, covering most of the state now, so he's just in love with the fact that wherever he drives, he can key the mic up and it finds it. So that makes him happy. So, because, you know, he's always multitasking, so he doesn't have to stop and think, where am I, how far does this go, blah, blah, blah. It just does it.
Yeah, I heard you guys set up IP Connect, and I had to look that up to see what that was all about. And so, does it give the radio an IP address, and it kind of does some pinging, or... Because I always thought roaming was like your radio just tries to get the strongest signal. And then if the signal goes below a threshold, then it does some voting, and, you know, the radio does.
I'm not sure exactly how it works. I know how to set it up, but I can tell you what the light does. Like every minute or two, the light blinks like it transmits and sends out some sort of ping. And then I think the radio waits for a response. And then if it doesn't get a response that it likes, because there's like a dB setting you give it, I just leave it at the default. And if anybody wants to correct me, they're more than welcome. But I think that's what it does, and then if it doesn't get a response it likes, then you see it blink a lot. Bing, blink, 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 and then I think it starts running through and finds out somebody that does respond and say, here, I'm good, how about a, you know, whatever, 100 dB, negative 100 dB or whatever they use, and it says, okay, then I'll use that one. I think that's how it works. I don't know as far if it does it via IP address or not. Maybe it does that at the backhaul or the back end, but yeah, when you think about it, yeah, why would they use those words? I never thought about it that way until you just brought it up. But as far as looking at the radio, I think that's how it works.
Okay, that makes sense. I just noticed, you know, so I have this, I bought this M17 radio. It's from Kinect Systems. You know, I bought it like a year ago, right? And I noticed on the DMR side, so the DMR has a code plug for it, and it has the checkbox for IP Connect, so I'm wondering if it would be compatible with it. And, of course, the only way I'm going to be able to try that is if I, like, drive around the state and see if it works. But I was just curious if you know, what you knew about it.
Yeah, you dump all the frequencies in that, you know, that you would think you would go, you know, on the Central Michigan Emergency website. And, you know, of course, the time slot, the talk group, at least that's how I do it. And so, you know, Detroit, Grand Rapids, I forget the bunch. There's a whole bunch of them there, some towns I never heard of. So that's what I did. And then I just connect the IP Connect box, click them all together. And that just turns it into a channel, and then it goes from there. And, you know, I always leave the primary channel, the one that's probably closest. And actually, in that case, it's Mount Clemens. But I've also left it at the default 403, whatever, and it still works. Because, you know, it's trying to ping in 403, and it doesn't find anything. Then it goes hunting. So, so that's how you do it. But what you could do is set it up and... just give it to Tom, let him use it for, you know, a week or so. He's pretty, you know, he's pretty, tell you if that's how you know. But you really don't need it. Like, if you're using it as a base or something of that nature, you really don't need it to do a lot of driving. He does, or if you're going up north for vacations or what have you, then it's really cool.
Yeah, that's what that's the conclusion I came to. It's like, well, it's always Mount Clemens is always going to be the closest to me when I'm around my house, and then Detroit might be the second, right? So, if that's the case, I might as well just program two different channels. And so, that's the way I think I'm going to do it. But I was curious if there was any benefit to using it.
Get a job like Tom. He's probably the only person I know of that would really benefit from it.
Oh yeah, I heard him all over the state. So yeah, that you know, I would use it a lot too if that were the case. But all right, I'm at my destination. I gotta go pick up the mail from the mailbox and all that good stuff. So good luck on the. On the other thing that you were looking into today, hopefully you find something that works.
Yeah, I ordered a couple PIDs, the middle priced ones, and then they hit a promotion, it automatically kicked in, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm just going to give it to service director and the field manager and just say, here, try these, you know. Because I said to him, I said, would you try these? He goes, oh, hell yeah. Because, you know, he's talking on the phone to a customer, and, you know, then everybody, all the worker bees kept calling in, you know, this way here. So we're going to give it a try. I mean, what you know, we'll just end up getting good ones, good radios for them, and that way they could be just commercialized and not worry about any of the licenses or anything. But they do make really, Akira makes one. There's a lot of people that make really, really heavy-duty good ones. So if it works out, we'll do it that way, you know, at least this way here. That right now they're going to start off with a couple CPs, and we'll see how it goes. But thanks for your help on that. So I'll let you know when they get them.
All right, cool. Yeah, and once again, you should let Tom try one out because, like, he's all over the state. He's going to give you the best idea of where they work and where they don't.
That might be a good idea. See how that goes. Yeah, we really don't go. Well, I should take that back. Our coverage area that what we're concerned about is basically Lansing up to the Bay City area and down towards the southeast corner. So we don't go much farther than Lansing because all of our crew wants to be home at night. So and we also have to start worrying about logs and how many hours they drive and all the other stuff. So, I mean, we don't go west of Lansing without a fight.
Yeah, I don't blame the people that need to go this way. All right, I will chat with you later. So it looks like rain's coming, so chat with you later. KFADS.
Rain and cold. WAC. Have a good night.
So what new door do you want me to play with and try? And if I go to Lansing, I'm going to the peanut store. KGO.
Trying out a couple of those cellular radios for our guys. I just purchased a couple of them, and we're going to see, and if they work out good, we're going to give everybody one, but right now it's just a beta test, and basically the Motorola Wave technology. So we're going to try to ask you, just for simple kind of questions, like, I'm here, where are you? You know, things of that nature. So, not really long transmissions. But right now, I'm going to say the official word is the beta test. The unofficial word is it the toy that Wally wants to learn about.
One can never have too many radios.
Especially if the company's paying for them.
100%. NAWRO, can you help there too? Can you jump over from DMR?
Yes, sir. I am here, listening intently.
So I think it's HD is Wally that you got. And what brand are they, did you say?
Oh, you could get real expensive ones, but right now I just got CP1 TIDs.
Oh, do they do the, like the IP Connect thing for Moto Turbo or something similar to that?
Part of all the cellular networks. It's basically limited 200 gig or 200 megabytes or 200, whatever it is. I didn't know what the spec is, but the way I understand it is, you're hard-pressed to go way over that because it's just real shallow voice over IP, the 4G part of all the cellular networks.
Oh, so is it similar to a Nextel kind of technology? KKKGO and pass it to whoever's next.
Is it like Zello or a POC radio over IP?
I'm hearing, but we'll find out. Nextel had a pretty good thing, and then it kind of lost love. Sprint finished it off. The 800 problem. There are all sorts of things that, you know, contributed to its death. Go ahead, Tim. W8BD.
Yeah, Wally, it sounds like a better version of, like, Zello radio, a POC radio, I guess, over IP. I guess Europe uses them a lot. I mean, they're here in the U.S., too, for trucking companies. But, yeah, it'd be interesting. They certainly do work well when the network's up.
We're going to give it a try. If it fails, what? You know, if it works, better. You know, as far as that, whatever. I just, you know, I was with the pit stop guys, actually. And he does a great job with the pit stop. And, you know, his phone was just going crazy. And I said, you want to try this? And he goes, oh, yeah. He said, I'll give it a try. So, yeah, I thought, wow, for somebody that always says no to me, that was pretty easy buy-in. So we're going to try it.
Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, I'm all for beta testing. You know, I'm picking up, I got to go back out to Grand Rapids probably within a week to replace a board instead of a battery. I know I'm going to be out there for a bit. Of course, I can't bring anything in but my work phones into the federal courthouse, you know, how that goes, stipulations. But, yeah, I'm all for beta testing. You want me to grab one and we'll test it all over my service area, and then when I get a chance to hit the west side, I'll let you know. Just the west side, too.
Yeah, well, they're cheap. And by cheap, I mean cheaper than Redivis cheap. So they can't be that good of a build quality either. So my guess is that's going to be kind of limiting, too, you know. But whatever. We'll see. You know, if it does work, then we'll get some better ones. So we shall, you put a SIM card in them. And the SIM card gives you access to, you don't need a phone number, the SIM card gives you access to the basically. And I don't know if that's the right word to use with what they're doing, but that's kind of how it's doing it. Mr. Tim, your turn.
Yes, I actually, I'm looking at the ComJot website now, and it does use the data portion of a cell network as opposed to the voice portion. And in theory, if a cell network goes down, apparently there's a lot of times you can get text messages through. And if that's the case, this will work, even though it's voice, but it's using the text side. And I've got some cheaper radios that use the Zello network, and it's kind of the same theory. Over to you, Tom.
Yeah, send me a link on that. I want to check that out, and then we'll be right back, because, you know, the missus is calling, and she's very persistent today. I'll be back. KJ, KJO.
No, we can say so much stuff right now, but we'd probably get her in trouble. Tim.
The only thing, this is good, it's another tool in a toolbox, the ROIP solution, although there's some that will say, it's cheating, it's not RF. Well, it kind of is RF, it's just not amateur radio RF.
Yeah, I know. You know, I don't know where it's going to go. I was talking with Sean the other day, or maybe earlier. You know, I just think it's all going to go to something like that eventually. Think about it. You know, maybe you want little satellites in the sky or, you know, something of that nature. Because if you really look at the amount of money that's spent on all these infrastructures, you know, the county system, the state system, the fire system, I mean, you look at all the money. And suppose, you know, everybody all of a sudden has all their eggs in one basket. You know, they're obviously going to go to cellular. Guy or they're always going to do, you know, whatever, you know, little low-orbit satellites or something of that nature. I mean, you just don't know, but, you know, it's all possible anyway. Let's go back to, you know, Simplex.
Agreed. I think we had this conversation a little bit ago, and I agree with it. Again, just another option to have, especially if we're talking for our RFPFC use. You're a little crunchy there, Wally. How far are you away from the Richmond one?
Actually, not that far. Hold on, I know how to fix this. Does this fix it?
It's better, yes, I agree. I mean, you weren't bad, it's just you weren't previously up to your Victor Delta standards.
Believe it or not, I'm sitting out in front of my house, and for some reason in the front of my house, it's terrible. And I don't know why, but it just is, and it doesn't matter what I use here. So, and I think it's the front of the house, and everything gets blocked, you know, because I live in a subdivision with lots and lots of houses. I think lots and lots of houses block the signal from going towards the antenna. So I told it to use the UMP, so it's going the other way.
It is better. It is mo better. I can read your signal better. All right, sounds good. I'm going to jump off for a little bit. I'll probably be listening to Statewide 1 because I can now. Ha. NAWRO, I'll listen out.
Well, I talked to you on something digital, but all I got with me is XTL. All right, I'll chat later. NAWRO from W8 Victor Delta with his standards.
And there are no standards for W8VD, because they don't have any standards. Can't get a Motorola, Wally, and then what you're offering with the IP Connect, or they got something else for DMR. KKKKL. WKKKKKL.
NADBF.
DBS, are you on your way home now?
Good afternoon.
You tighten your antenna down?
You know, I was just thinking about that, and of course I did not. I had to carry some stuff into the office, forgot all about it by the time I backed in.
Well, it survived this long, so I'm sure it'll survive it back up to Elmont.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about it. I've got my low voltage little, I got a, what is it, a Vito tool pouch with like a little, it's super small, like clip it on your belt. But I don't have any hex heads in that. Not that I, maybe, I don't know, I gotta check. I've got one of those little Klein multi-precision screwdrivers, but I'm pretty sure the one I put in there is just a Phillips and flat.
I have Allen wrenches coming up my ass, because I got them in a toolbox in metric and standard, and then I have in my tool bag another bunch of Allen wrenches, you know, for maglock mounts and whatever else I need them for.
I'm usually pretty good about it. My toolbox in the basement's got about 5 gazillion random ones that come with, like, scope rings or RC cars, I mean, you name it, like whatever random Allen wrench I've ever obtained in the last 5-10 years is in that drawer, and I don't use any of them. And then my toolbox in the garage, I've got proper sets. All my Vito bags that have different purposes have sets in them, and then this little guy, it was never intended to be like a serviceable pouch. It's literally got like electrician snips in it, flat, the Klein adjustable screwdriver, which is the best screwdriver ever made. If you don't have one, you should get it. I've got a Keystone punch-down tool, and I've got an RJ45, RJ11, RJ11 or 12 crimper in it, and a pair of
Kinepix multipliers, and that's it. So it was never meant to be like a serviceable pouch. It's got a very specific job, and yeah. So I'll fix it when I get home, maybe.
Only my work tool bag. I got one multi-bit screwdriver with security bits. I got another multi-bit screwdriver with number 1, 2, and 3 Phillips, and what else is in there? Some hex. And, of course, the standard flathead. And, oh, God, I can't think of it. It's got, like, 10 different bits. You know, so 20 altogether if you flip them. Same thing with the red handle one. That's all multi-bit security bits, either pins or Torx or whatever else. Just keys. And then I got a Klein 11-in-1, you know, standard screwdriver with Roberts in it. And then I got one RJ 45, and, oh, what is it, 31, what the hell is the telephone one, the 4-wire, 6, I got a 6-wire, 8-wire, I guess you could say.
4 and 6-wire, RJ11 and RJ12, but, I only use Klein screwdrivers. It's like I can't stand their hand tools anymore. I don't know why, I don't like them, but they're screwdrivers, man, they're so good.
I got a pair of Klein cutters. I love them. You know, and those are my, you know, hammer as well. Then I got my toner and my probe. And then I got a 110 and a 66 punch down cutter and standard punch down, you know, for a phone lens or whatever else I'm using on a 66 block or a 110 block. And then a whole bunch of little mini screwdrivers for, like you, I collect them as I go, along with Allen wrenches for cameras and card readers and any phone covers. Yeah, I'm with you. I've got a mishmash of tools. 35 pounds worth is what I carry on my shoulder.
Yeah, we've got very similar loadouts for the stuff we have to deal with. The I don't know if you know, but Klein makes a screwdriver-shaped 110 60 block, or what is it? What's the one? The 110 what? 110 60? I don't know. I've never had to terminate any of those, thankfully. But that's what I have. I use it for keystones. And it's nice. It's got the adjustable high-low impact, and it's shaped like a screwdriver. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just me, but every other punchdown I've ever used or owned, they're like the weird rectangle shape that is not ergonomic at all. So I got this thing. I'm like, this is very, very nice. But, yeah, I just... As I go, I end up with more and more crap. I don't know if you've dabbled in any of the German-made pliers, but as soon as I started using those, I had a hard time using anything else.
Yeah, you got the 66 block, which is vertical, then you got the 110, which is horizontal. So I know what you're getting at. And my Klein cutters, you know, they're angled, and I use those things for everything. I don't use you know, electrician snips or electronics scissors or anything like that. I can strip the casing and I can strip the wire on a Cat 6 with my eyes closed. And also, you know, 18-6 and 22-4 in Belden. You know, I've gotten so used to doing it, that's how I do it. I don't use cheaters.
Well, hold on. What do you strip with if you don't use electrician snips?
My cutters.
Like your dykes?
Yeah, they're a pair of Klein angled, you know, pointed end on them, so I can go through a drywall. If I need to make a hole, I just push it through. But yeah, they're dykes. I guess that's what you want to call it. We call them cutters. They're red handled. And I just snip the end off, strip the casing, pull the string, cut off the extra. Straighten the wires, strip them. I can do 6-in-1.
Dude, I'm actually, I want to watch. I have never even attempted to strip with, not even Romex. I haven't even tried to do it with my dykes. I've got those same cutters. I got the angled pair and I've got the straight pair. And they're sharp, but I didn't think they were sharp enough to cut jacket without going through. I use I forgot what model number they are, but just the Klein, like, $14
They look like little kid scissors, the all stainless steel ones. I use those, and same thing. I could be having a conversation with someone, strip and jag it, not cut it.
I challenged a Simplex guy when I was at the airport for 18-6. I go, here you go, here's your piece of 18-6, here's my piece of 18-6. Let's see who can strip the fastest. You have a pair of cheaters, I have my cutters. And I was done and had it mounted before he was done with the fourth wire.
Was it 18-6 flat or 18-6 round?
18-6 stranded, shielded plenum.
Yeah, I've messed with that stuff one time. I'm trying to think what I use. I use my clients. I was working in my old boss's house, drilling through... his truss is running cable, and whoever ran his freaking thermostat wire put it, like, hidden in the truss somehow, like, up against it, and I drilled through that. So then I ran to Home Depot and picked up the same wire. It was, like, yeah, it was 18-6, and I'm like, what the hell? I've never seen this many wires for a furnace, but I was like, big house, two zones, okay, maybe, you know, maybe it needs it. I go to take out the old wire, I guess I could have checked beforehand. He just had, I think it was three or four wires, so I drove all over God's green earth to find 18-6 thermostat wire, bought more than I needed to, spent like $70 on this crap, and I could have went to the first Home Depot that I stopped at and spent like $20 and fixed it.
Yeah, the thermostat wire is 18-4 solid, and then my reader wire is 18, you know, on the older readers like yours, 18-6 shielded stranded plenum with a drain.
There are days where I definitely miss working with tools, but then there are days where I'm very glad I don't. Like, can't have both. I wish I could. Well, my old job was kind of nice. I would pick and choose when I was in the field doing install stuff because I scheduled everything. But now it's like, oh, this needs to get done. Crap, let me go to my truck and grab my stuff.
Yeah, I use the same cutters to strip RG6 and RG59 also.
So I can see stripping the 18 gauge, all right, the wires inside, I should say, which I think are 18 gauge, right? Or is the 18 gauge the jacket?
No, gauge of wire is the gauge of wire. It's the copper. That's all we use is copper. Aluminum sucks.
It just seems like it would be thick, but maybe I'm not remembering correctly at all. Like I said, I've had to mess with it one time, and I'm glad I haven't done it since. I could see stripping solid 18-gauge wire, but I can't see stripping a jacket off of it with dikes.
You know, I get the jacket, I put a little nick in it, nick it, you know, nick it here, nick it there, and I just squeeze and pull, and now I got the wires. But I take the shield off of it, you know, I get the piece of string, pull it down to how much I need, bend that back, cut that off, take the shield off of it, which is like a static shield, pull that back, cut the drain off with the shield, and then I only need 5 out of the 6 wires, so I'll roll back the blue, take the electrical tape, pull the piece, tear it off, wrap that up, now I got red, black, green, white, brown. And then I grab those, and depending if I'm, you know, how fast I'm going, I can usually do 2 or 3 at a time, but it's a lot faster to do 2, so I do red and black, and I do green and white, and I do the brown, twist it so it's nice and pretty, and twist it, I either do with a dolphin, or I use a wire nut. All depends on the application. And I could probably throw a reader, you know, wire reader up in, what, 5 minutes?
Most people I've come across can't terminate an RJ45 in that amount of time.
Chill. Well, the RJ45, when I do a Cat 5, you know, I got the strippers for that, cut it, strip it, straighten out the wires, set the color code, and then I push through, and I have the easy connects because I'm lazy. I have not perfected the ones where I can slide it right in there and crimp it down, so use the easy connect, put it in my tool, snip it off, make sure all the ends are nice and clean, and there you go. Done.
NABBF. All right.
that makes sense. You're not stripping cat with dykes. Okay. That's where I was getting confused. I'm like, man, that's risky, especially for data. But now I get it. What do you say easy connects? Are you saying, like, the plat? Oh, do you use platinums?
I don't know what they are, but more or less, you know, you do your color code, whether it's A or B, and then you feed it through the plastic, you know, through the connector, and you push it through, and the wires come out the other end. Then you take a tool and you put it, you know, you put the jack in the tool, and then when you crimp it, it pushes down on the jacket, it pushes the pins into the wires, and then it cuts the ends of the wires off.
Oh, dude, yeah, no, that's the only way to terminate RJ45. I cannot stand mod plugs. I can do them, but I hate them. They take too long. I've had way more failure rates with mod plugs than the pass-throughs. No, pass-throughs are the way to go. I use the Platinum XO crimper and then whatever I'm dealing with the end. It's like easy RJ44 and RJ45, I think they're called.
Yep, that's what I use, easy RJ45s. I think 44s are for Cat 6. You know, but I can strip a Cat 5 cable too. I can strip it, pull the string back, cut it off, straighten out the wires, because we use, for a lot of my CanTech equipment, they recommend Cat 5. So that's what I use for the, and it's just push connectors in the back of the reader. And because a lot of them are OSDP, I only need 4 wires.
Interesting. I would like to see that. I'd also like to see you try it with SNPs. I feel like once you did that, you'd be like, yep, I'm good on these. This is the way to go. But maybe not. I don't know. I feel like once you're proficient at something, nothing else matters.
I've used cutters for almost 30 years. And that's how I learned to do wiring. I also learned how to, you know, I can tear the tape and I don't have to pull it to snap it off. I can literally tear the tape in a nice clean tear. For electrical tape, that's easy. You know, then I take it, fold, you know, spin it through, then I flip it over and spin it back, and my connections don't come loose.
You tear the tape after you've wrapped?
Oh, that's dumb. No, I pull off a piece of tape, a length that I need, usually about 3 inches, and then I just tear it right at the roll, and then I put the tape on the wire, you know, where the twist is at, and I bring it up to the end, flip it over right at the end, and I fold it back on itself. And it's really hard to pull my tape off.
Okay, that makes more sense. I thought you were wrapping and pairing.
No, that's dumb. I don't use scissors or anything to cut my tape. I got that down to an art form, too. And everybody knows my connections, because when they pull the reader on the wall, they go, yep, Tom was here, we can tell. And the trainees, you know, the new guys are like, how? And pull that piece of tape off. They're like, I can't pull it off. He goes, exactly, that's Tom.
They know Tom was there because he doesn't leave a cheater, and they go, damn him.
Roll on every pouch and bag that I have, but that's only for fishing wire.
Okay, you got stepped on by somebody, and I think that was Dave, W-A-R-I-T, who I work with. Is that you, Dave, out there? Go ahead. We got the Dakota NAPDF.
No, I think it was me. I was just saying, you know, they know it was Tom because he doesn't leave a cheater, and they go, damn it, Tom.
Oh, is that what you mean, cheater? Like a little pole rope?
No, the very end of the electrical tape. You just fold it back on itself just for a little bit so that it gives you a little cheater to unwrap it.
No, I do not. I wrap it up, fold it over, wrap it back. And if you do it right, you can see where the end of that, you can pull it and twist it off. But I hate the people that just spin tape around the end of wire and they pinch the end. That is the dumbest way to do things.
Well, I don't do cheaters if it's something that's supposed to be taped and left. But if it's something like if we're just, you know, pulling a wire or
something like that for just using it to, because we do a lot of that. We use electrical tape to tape pole wires to core cables and things like that. And, you know, something you got to undo, man, you got to put that cheater in there. Otherwise, it's like, you know, you're fumbling around trying to say, where's the end? Where's the end? You know, feeling with your fingernail. Screw that. Fold just a little bit of the end over, and you got a little tab. All right, I'm at Harbor Freight. I got to run and get a tarp.
I love that store. I never bought to leave a cheater on my electrical tape. I usually just MF it until I find the end, and then I seal it up with my nail.
Yeah, I'll leave a cheater end on it if I'm pulling, you know, if I got pull string and I'm pulling cable. I need the GPS receiver that I did for me and Wally did going through all that pipe. I left cheater on there with the pull string and pulled it through, and then I pulled it through the entire tray. Not a problem. Doesn't get snagged.
See, I don't even leave a cheater on, like, my sticks or my wire bullet or my fish tape or pull rope, and I usually end up just either cutting the last 6 inches of the wire off, because it's always got residue on it anyway, so I just lop that off, or I just, if I have to use it, I'll just pull my knife out, and I'll just cut the tape between the stick and the stick and the wire.
Yeah, I've done that too. Yeah, you get that sticky goo at the end of the cable. And, yeah. But, you know, when I pull cable, you know, I make a loop at the bottom, you know, further down, and tie that off. And then I make another reverse loop, you know, a few inches above that, tighten that up, and then I make one more reverse loop and tighten that up. That way, if I'm pulling the cable and it gets stuck, the person on the other end feeding it can pull it back, which will pull the string, and it won't snap or slip off. You know, when I used to pull cable, I was pulling 8 or 9 signees, you know, through a 40-foot ceiling or underneath a bowling alley or through walls. You know, that's a lot of work. And my coworker and I just did 3 Cat 6 direct burials, probably about 350, 400 feet with pull string. And, yeah, that was a feat in itself.
That's actually a pretty smart way of doing it. I've lost my fair share of cables and conduit and walls, and I'm not proud of it.
Yep, that's why you wrap a couple loops. You wrap a pull loop that tightens up like a noose as you're pulling the string with the cable, and then on the back, and then you flip it the other direction, so if you got to pull the cable back, it, tightens up the string on the other, you know, as the noose on the other end. And you always tape off the end, that way it doesn't get stuck in pipe, you can't pull on the string and snapping it. Well, I've learned quite a few ways of doing things. Believe me, I pulled through a lot of pipe. I've done probably about 1,000 feet through 5-inch pipe, and that was direct burial 18-6. And that's when wire goo comes in handy.
You mean Vaseline?
Well, you can call it Vaseline, but it's called wire lube. It's a lot slicker than Vaseline. And when it when you pull it through, man, it's like, it goes right through. And then it dries and you don't see it anymore.
I'll keep that in mind the next time I've got a tough pull. Last annoying thing I did was five or six direct burial Cat 6 lines at my dad's. So I want to say it was 2.5-inch schedule 40. I can't remember. I don't know. It was a pain, though. We were completely out of room because I think he ran electrical in that line, too, which I told him not to do, but he did anyway. And did not lube it. Just ended up reefing on it. So we were able to get it through this truck.
Tomorrow. But I'll be out and about You'll hear me as usual.
That explains why I don't hear you in the morning. I'm usually at my desk by about 7:20 to 7:30. So, maybe in the afternoon. But, all right, man. Have a good night. I'll catch you later. NAPDF.
This is KE0PVI listening.